Chapter 35. Into the Woods. Sitting cross-legged on Rand's bed, Min watched him in his shirt sleeves rooting through the coats in the huge ivory-inlaid wardrobe. How could he sleep in this room with all its black, heavy furniture? A part of her thought absently about moving everything out, replacing it with some carved pieces she had seen in Camelin, lightly touched with gilding, and pale draperies and linens that he would find less oppressive. Odd. She had never cared one way or another about furniture or linens. But that one tapestry of a battle, of a lone swordsman surrounded by enemies and about to be overwhelmed, that definitely had to go. Mostly, though, she just watched him. There was such an intent look in his morning blue eyes, and the snowy shirt tightened across the broad of his back when he turned to reach deep into the wardrobe's interior. He had very good legs, and marvelous calves, shown off well in dark, close-fitting breeches, with his boots turned down. Sometimes he frowned, combing fingers through dark reddish hair. No amount of brushing could make it ruly. It always curled slightly around his ears and on the nape of his neck. She was not one of those fool women who tossed their brains at a man's feet along with their hearts. It was just that sometimes, near him, thinking clearly became a trifle difficult. That was all. Coat after embroidered silk coat came out and was tossed to the floor, atop the one he had worn to the Sea Folk ship. Could the negotiations still be going half so well without his Taviran presence? If only she had a really useful viewing of the Sea Folk. As always, to her eyes, images and colorful auras flickered around him, most gone too quickly to make out, all but one meaningless to her at the moment. That one viewing came and went 100 times a day, and whenever Matt or Perrin were present, it encompassed them too, and sometimes others. A vast shadow lurked over him, swallowing up thousands upon thousands of tiny lights like fireflies that hurled themselves into it, in an attempt to fill up the darkness. Today there seemed to be countless tens of thousands of fireflies, but the shadow seemed larger too. Somehow that viewing represented his battle with the shadow, but he almost never wanted to know how it stood. Not that she could really say, except that the shadow always seemed to be winning, to one degree or another. She sighed with relief to see the image go. A tiny stab of guilt made her shift her seat on the coverlet. She had not really lied when he asked what viewings she had kept back. Not really. What good to tell him he would almost certainly fail without a woman who was dead and gone? He became bleak too easily as it was. She had to keep his spirits up, make him remember to laugh. Except, "I don't think this is a good idea, Rand." Saying that might be a mistake. Men were strange creatures in so many ways. One minute they took reasonable advice, and the next did just the opposite. Deliberately did the opposite, it seemed. For some reason, though, she felt protective toward this towering man who could probably lift her with either hand, and that without his channeling. "It is a wonderful idea," he said, tossing down a blue coat with silver embroidery. "I'm Taviran, and today it seems to be working in my favor for a change." A green coat with gold embroidery went to the floor. "Wouldn't you rather comfort me again?" He stopped dead, staring at her with a silver-worked red coat hanging forgotten in his hands. She hoped she was not blushing. Comforting. Where did that idea ever come from? She wondered silently. The aunts who had raised her were gentle, kind women, but they had strong notions of proper behavior. They had disapproved of her wearing breeches, disapproved of her working in stables, the job she loved best, since it brought her into contact with horses. There was no question what they would think of comforting with a man she was not married to. If they ever found out, they would ride all the way from Bear Lawn just to skin her. And him, too, of course.
"I need to keep moving while I'm sure it is still working," he said slowly, then turned quite quickly back to the wardrobe. "This will do," he exclaimed, pulling out a plain coat of green wool. "I didn't know this was in there."
It was the coat he had worn coming back from Dumai's Wells, and she could see his hands tremble as he remembered. Trying to be casual, she got up and went to put her arms around him, crushing the coat between them as she laid her head against his chest. "I love you," was all she said. Through his shirt, she could feel the round, half-healed scar on his left side. She could recall when he got it as if it were yesterday. That had been the first time she ever held him in her arms, while he lay unconscious and near death. His hands pressed against her back, squeezing her tight, squeezing the breath out of her, but then, disappointingly, they fell away. She thought he muttered something about "not fair" under his breath. Was he thinking about the sea folk while she hugged him? He should be, really. Marana was a gray, yet it was said the sea folk could make a Domani sweat. He should be, but she thought about kicking his ankle. Gently he moved her away and began pulling on the coat. "Rand," she said firmly, "you can't be sure it will have any effect, just because it did on Harin. If you being Taviran always affected everything, you'd have every ruler kneeling at your feet by now, and the white cloaks, too." "I'm the dragon reborn," he replied haughtily, "and today I can do anything." Scooping up his sword belt, he fastened it around his waist. It bore a plain brass buckle now. The gilded dragon lay atop the coverlet on the bed. Gloves of thin black leather went on to cover the gold-maned heads on the backs of his hands, and the herons branded on his palms. "But I don't look like him, do I?" He spread his arms, smiling. "They won't know until it's too late." She almost threw up her hands. "You don't look much like a fool, either." And let him take that how he would. The idiot eyed her askance, as if he was not sure. "Rand, as soon as they see the Aiel, they will either run or start fighting. If you won't take any of the Aes Sedai, at least take those Ashaman. One arrow and you're dead, whether you're the dragon reborn or a goat herd." "But I am the dragon reborn, Min," he said seriously, "and Taviran. We are going alone, just you and me. That is, if you still want to come." "You're not going anywhere without me, Randall Thor." She stopped herself from saying he would trip over his own feet if he did. This euphoria was almost as bad as the dark bleakness. "Nandera won't like this." She did not know exactly what went on between him and the maidens. Something very peculiar indeed by the things she had seen, but any hope that that might stop him guttered out when he grinned like a small boy evading his mother. "She won't know, Min." He even had a twinkle in his eye. "I do this all the time, and they never know." He held out a gloved hand, expecting her to jump when he called. There really was nothing to do but straighten her green coat, glance into the stand mirror to make sure of her hair, and take his hand. The trouble was, she was ready to leap if he crooked a finger. She just wanted to make sure he never found out. In the anteroom, he made a gateway atop the golden rising sun set in the floor, and she let him lead her through onto a hilly forest floor carpeted with dead leaves. A bird flashed away, flaring red wings. A squirrel appeared on a branch and chittered at them, lashing a furry white-tipped tail. It was hardly the sort of woods she remembered from near Bearlawn. There were not many real forests anywhere close to the city of Kyrian. Most of the trees stood 4 or 5 or even 10 paces apart. Tall leather leaves and pines, taller oaks and trees she did not know, running across the flat she and Rand stood on, and up a slope that began only a few spans off. Even the undergrowth seemed thinner than back home. The bushes and vines and briars spread out in patches, though some of those were not small. Everything was brown and dry. She plucked a lace-edged handkerchief from her sleeve and dabbed at the sweat that suddenly seemed to pop out on her face. "Which way do we go?" she asked. By the sun, north lay over the slope, the direction she would choose. The city should lie about 7 or 8 miles in that direction. With luck, they could walk all the way back without encountering anyone. Or better, given her heeled boots and the terrain, not to mention the heat, Rand could decide to give up and make another gateway back to the Sun Palace. The palace rooms were cool compared to this. Before he could answer, crackling brush and leaves announced someone coming. The rider who appeared on a long-legged gray gelding with bright-fringed bridle and reins was a Kyrianan woman, short and slender in a dark blue, nearly black, silk riding dress, horizontal slashes of red and green and white running from her neck to below her knees. The sweat on her face could not diminish her pale beauty or make her eyes less than large, dark pools. A small, clear green stone hung on her forehead from a fine golden chain, fastened in black hair that fell in waves to her shoulders. Men gasped, and not for the hunting crossbow the woman carried, casually raised in one green-gloved hand. For a moment she was sure it was Moiraine. "But I do not recall seeing either of you in the camp," the woman said in a throaty, almost sultry voice. Moiraine's voice had been crystal. The crossbow lowered, still quite casually, until it pointed rock-steady at Rand's chest. He ignored it. "I thought I might like to take a look at your camp," he said with a slight bow. "I believe you are the Lady Caroline Damodred?" The slender woman inclined her head, acknowledging the name. Min sighed regretfully, but it was not as if she had really expected Moiraine to turn up alive. Moiraine was the only viewing of hers that had ever failed. But Caroline Damodred herself, one of the leaders of the rebellion against Rand here in Kyrian, and a claimant to the Sun Throne, he really was pulling all the threads of the pattern around him to have her appear. Lady Caroline slowly raised the crossbow to one side. The cord made a loud snap, launching the broadhead bolt into the air. "I doubt one would do any good against you," she said, walking her gelding slowly toward them. "And I would not like you to think I was threatening you." She looked once at Min, just a glance that ran head to toe, though Min was sure everything about her was filed away. But aside from that, Lady Caroline kept her eyes on Rand. She drew rein 3 paces away, just far enough so he could not reach her a foot before she could dig in her heels. "I can only think of one gray-eyed man with your height who might suddenly appear out of nowhere, unless perhaps you are an Aiel in disguise. But perhaps you will be so kind as to supply a name." "I am the Dragon Reborn," Rand said, every bit as arrogant as he had been with the sea folk. Yet if any Taviran swirling of the pattern was at work, the woman on the horse gave no evidence. Rather than leaping down to fall to her knees, she merely nodded, pursing her lips. "I have heard so very much about you. I have heard you went to the tower to submit to the Ammerlin seat. I have heard you mean to give the Sun Throne to Elaine Trakand. I have also heard that you killed Elaine and her mother." "I submit to no one," Rand replied sharply. He stared up at her with eyes fierce enough to snatch her out of the saddle by themselves. "Elaine is on her way to Camelin as we speak, to take the throne of Andor, after which she will have the throne of Kyrian as well." Min winced. Did he have to sound like a pillow stuffed full of haughty? She had hoped he had calmed down a bit after the sea folk. Lady Caroline laid her crossbow across the saddle in front of her, running a gloved hand along it, perhaps regretting that loosed bolt. "I could accept my young cousin on the throne. Better she than some, at least. But—" Those big dark eyes that had seemed so liquid suddenly became stone. "But I am not sure I can accept you in Kyrian. And I do not mean only your changes to laws and customs. You change fate by your very presence. Every day since you came, people die in accidents so bizarre no one can believe them. So many husbands abandon their wives and wives their husbands that no one even comments upon it now. You will tear Kyrian apart just by remaining here." "Balance," Min broke in hastily. Rand's face was so dark he looked ready to burst. Maybe he had been right to come after all. Certainly there was no point letting him throw this meeting away in a tantrum. She gave no one a chance to speak. There is always a balance of good against bad. That's how the pattern works. Even he doesn't change that. As night balances day, good balances harm. Since he came, there hasn't been a single stillbirth in the city, not one child born deformed. There are more marriages some days than used to be in a week, and for every man who chokes to death on a feather, a woman tumbles head over heels down 3 flights of stairs, and instead of breaking her neck, stands up without a bruise. Name the evil, and you can point to the good. The turning of the wheel requires balance, and he only increases the chances of what might have happened anyway in nature. Suddenly she colored, realizing they were both looking at her, staring more like.
Balance? Rand murmured, eyebrows lifting.
I've been reading some of Master Fell's books, she said faintly. She did not want anyone to think she was pretending to be a philosopher.
Lady Caroline smiled at her tall saddle bow and toyed with her reins.
The woman was laughing at her.
She would show this woman what she could laugh at. Abruptly, a tall black gelding with the look of a war horse came crashing through the undergrowth, ridden by a man well into his middle years, with close-cropped hair and a pointed beard. Despite his yellow Tyran coat, the fat sleeves striped with green satin, eyes of a startling pretty blue looked out of his damp, dark face, like pale, polished sapphires. Not a particularly pretty man, but those eyes made up for a too long nose. He carried a crossbow in one leather, gauntleted hand, and brandished a broadhead bolt in the other.
"This came down inches from my face, Caroline, and it has your markings. Just because there's no game is no reason—"
He became aware of Rand and Min just then, and his drawn crossbow lowered toward them.
"Are these strays, Caroline? Or did you find spies from the city? I've never believed Al Thor would continue to let us sit here unhindered."
Half a dozen more riders appeared behind him, sweating men in fat-sleeved coats with satin stripes, and perspiring women in riding dresses with wide, thick lace collars, all carrying crossbows. The last of those riders had not halted, horses stamping and tossing heads, before twice as many came struggling through the brush from another direction and pulled up near Caroline. Slight pale men and women in dark clothes with stripes of color, sometimes to below the waist, all with crossbows. Servants afoot came after, laboring and panting with the heat, the men who would dress and carry any downed game. It hardly seemed to matter that none had more than a skinning knife at his belt. Min swallowed, and unconsciously began patting her cheeks with her handkerchief a little more vigorously. If even one person recognized Rand before he knew it. Lady Caroline did not hesitate.
"Not spies, darling," she said, turning her horse to face the Tyran newcomers.
"The High Lord Darlin Cisnera. All that was needed now was Lord Toram Riotin."
Min wished Rand's Taviran tugging at the pattern could be just a little less complete.
"A cousin and his wife," Caroline went on, "come from Andor to see me. May I present Tomas Trakand, from a minor branch of the house, and his wife, Jaisi?"
Min almost glared at her. The only Jaisi she had ever known had been a dusty prune before she was 20, and sour and bad-tempered to boot.
Darlin's gaze swept over Rand again, lingered a moment on Min.
He lowered his crossbow and bowed his head just a hair, a high lord of Tyr to a minor noble.
"You are welcome, Lord Tomas. It takes a brave man to join us in our present circumstances. Al Thor may loose the savages on us any day."
The Lady Caroline gave him an exasperated look that he made a show of not seeing. He noted that Rand's return bow was no more than his, however, noted and frowned. A darkly handsome woman in his retinue muttered angrily under her breath. She had a long, hard face, well practiced in anger, and a stout fellow, scowling and sweating in a red-striped coat of pale green, heeled his horse forward a few steps as if thinking to ride Rand down.
"The wheel weaves as the wheel wills," Rand said coolly, as though he noticed nothing.
"The dragon reborn to The dragon reborn to just about anybody was what it was. Arrogance on a mountaintop. Not much happens, as we expect. For instance, I heard you were in Tyr, in Haddon Mirk. Min wished she dared speak up, dared say something to soothe him. She settled for stroking his arm, casually. A wife. Now there was a word that suddenly sounded fine. A wife idly patting her husband. Another fine word. Light, it was hard being fair. It was hardly fair having to be fair. The High Lord Darlin is but lately come by longboat with a few of his close friends, Tomas. Caroline's throaty tone never changed, but her gelding suddenly pranced, no doubt at a sharp heel, and under cover of regaining control, she turned her back to Darlin and shot Rand a brief warning frown. Do not trouble the High Lord, Tomas.
I do not mind, Caroline, Darlin said, slinging his crossbow from his saddle by a loop. He rode a little closer and rested an arm on his tall saddle bow. A man should know what he is stepping into. You may have heard the tales about Althor going to the tower, Tomas. I came because Aes Sedai approached me months ago with suggestions that might happen, and your cousin informed me she had received the same. We thought we might put her on the Sun Throne before Kolaver could take it. Well, Althor is no fool. Never believe he is. Myself, I think he played the tower like a harp. Kolaver is hanged. He sits secure behind Kyrian's walls, without an Aes Sedai halter, I'll wager, no matter what rumor says. And until we find some way to extricate ourselves, we sit in his hand, waiting for him to make a fist. A ship brought you, Rand said simply. A ship could take you away.
Abruptly, Min realized he was gently patting her hand on his arm, trying to soothe her. Startlingly, Darlin threw back his head and laughed. A great many women would forget his nose for those eyes and that laugh.
So it would, Tomas. But I've asked your cousin to marry me. She will not say yes or no, but a man cannot abandon even a possible wife to the mercies of the Aiel, and she will not leave.
Caroline Damodred drew herself up on her saddle, face cold enough to shame an Aes Sedai, but suddenly auras of red and white flashed around her and Darlin, and Min knew. The colors never seemed to matter, but she knew that they would marry, after Caroline had led him a merry chase. More, to her eyes, a crown suddenly appeared on Darlin's head, a simple golden circlet with a slightly curved sword lying on its side above his brows. The king's crown he would wear one day, though of what country she could not say. Tyr had high lords instead of a king. Image and auras vanished as Darlin pulled his horse around to face Caroline.
There's no game to be found today. Toram has already returned to camp. I suggest we do the same.
Those blue eyes scanned the surrounding trees quickly.
It seems your cousin and his wife have lost their horses. They will wander in a careless moment, he added to Rand in a kindly tone. He knew very well they had no horses. But I'm sure Rover and Inez will give up their mounts. A walk in the air will do them good.
The stout man in the red-striped coat swung down from his tall bay immediately, with a toadying smile for Darlin, and one markedly less warm, if just as greasy, for Rand. The angry-faced woman was a moment later in climbing stiffly from her silver-gray mare. She did not look pleased. Neither was Min.
"You mean to go into their camp?" she whispered as Rand led her to the horses. "Are you mad?" she added before thinking.
"Not yet," he said softly, touching her nose with the tip of one finger. "Thanks to you, I know that."
And he boosted her onto the mare, then climbed into the bay's saddle and heeled the animal up beside Darlin. Heading north and a little toward the west across the slope, they left Rover and Inez standing beneath the trees, frowning at one another sourly. As they fell in behind with the Kyrianen, the other Tyrans shouted laughing wishes that the pair would enjoy the walk. Min would have ridden alongside Rand, but Caroline put a hand on her arm, drawing her in back of the two men. I want to see what he does, Caroline said quietly, which one, Min wondered.
You are his lover? Caroline asked.
Yes, Min told her defiantly, once she could catch a breath. Her cheeks felt like fire. But the woman only nodded, as if it were the most natural thing in the world. Maybe it was in Kyrian. Sometimes she realized that all the sophistication she had picked up talking to worldly people was about as thick as her blouse. Rand and Darlin rode knee to knee just ahead, the younger man half a head taller than the older, each wrapped in pride like a cloak, but talking just the same. Listening was not easy. They spoke quietly, and the dead leaves rustling under the horses' hooves, fallen branches cracking, often was enough to muffle their words. The cry of a hawk overhead or the chattering of a squirrel in a tree drowned them. Still, it was possible to overhear snatches.
"If I may say so, Tomas," Darlin said at one point as they headed down after the first rise, "and under the light I offer no disrespect, you are fortunate in having a beautiful wife. The light willing, I will have one as beautiful myself."
"Why do they not speak of something important?" Caroline muttered. Min turned her head to hide a small smile. The Lady Caroline did not look half as displeased as she sounded. She herself had never cared whether anyone thought her pretty or not. Well, until she met Rand, anyway. Maybe Darlin's nose was not all that long.
"I would have let him take Kalandor from the stone," Darlin said some time later as they climbed a sparsely treed slope. "But I could not stand aside when he brought Aiel invaders into Tyr." "I've read the prophecies of the dragon," Rand said, leaning forward on the bay's neck and urging the animal on. A fine, glossy appearance the horse had, but no more bottom than his owner, Min suspected. "The stone had to fall before he could take Kalandor," Rand continued. "Other Tyran lords follow him, so I hear."
Darlin snorted.
"They cringe and lick his boots. I could have followed if that was what he wanted,
With a sigh, he shook his head.
"Too many ifs, Tomas. There is a saying in Tyr. Any quarrel can be forgiven, but kings never forget. Tyr has not been under a king since Artur Hawkwing, but I think the dragon reborn is very like a king. No, he has attainted me with treason, as he calls it, and I must go on as I began. The light willing, I may see Tyr sovereign on its own land once more before I die."
It had to be Taviran work, Min knew. The man would never have spoken this way to someone casually met, Caroline Damodred's supposed cousin or not. But what did Rand think? She could hardly wait to tell him about the crown. Topping that hill, they suddenly came on a knot of spearmen, some with a dented breastplate or helmet, most without either, who bowed as soon as they saw the party. To left and right through the trees, Min could see other groups of sentries. Below, the camp lay spread out in what seemed a permanent haze of dust, down a nearly treeless slope, and across the hill valley and up the next hill. Each of the few tents was large, with some noble's banner hanging limply on a staff above the peak. Almost as many horses stood tied to picket lines as there were people, and thousands of men and a handful of women wandered among the cook fires and wagons. None raised a cheer as their leaders rode in. Min studied them over the handkerchief she pressed to her nose against the dust, not caring whether Caroline saw what she was doing. Dispirited faces watched them pass, and grim faces, people who knew they were in a trap. Here and there a house's khan stood stiffly above some man's head, yet most seemed to be wearing whatever they could find, bits and pieces of armor that often neither matched nor fitted very well. A good many, though, men too tall for Kyrian, wore red coats under their battered breastplates. Min eyed a nearly obscured white lion worked on a filthy red sleeve. Darlin could only have brought a few people with him on a longboat, perhaps no more than his hunting party. Caroline looked to neither side as they rode through the camp, but whenever they came near those men in red coats, her mouth tightened. Darlin dismounted before a tremendous tent, the largest Min had ever seen, larger than any she had ever imagined,
a great red-striped oval, shining in the sunlight like silk, with no fewer than 4 high conical peaks, each with the rising sun of Kyrian stirring above in a lazy breeze, gold on blue. The strumming of harps drifted out amid the murmur of voices like the sounds of geese. As servants took away the horses, Darlin offered his arm to Caroline. After a very long pause, she laid her fingers lightly on his wrist with no expression whatsoever, letting him escort her inside. "My lady wife," Rand murmured with a smile, extending his arm. Min sniffed and put her hand atop his. She would rather have hit him. He had no right to make a joke of that. He had no right to bring her here, Taviran or no Taviran. He could be killed here, burn him. But did he care if she spent the rest of her life weeping? She touched one of the striped door flaps as they went in and shook her head in wonder. It was silk. A silk tent! No sooner were they inside than she felt Rand stiffen. Darlin's shrunken retinue and Caroline's jostled around them with insincere murmurs of apology. Between the 4 main tent poles, long trestle tables groaning with food and drink stood about the colorful carpets that had been laid for a floor, and there were people everywhere. Kyrian and nobles in their finery, a few soldiers with the fronts of the heads shaved and powdered, plainly men of high rank by the fine cut of their coats. A handful of bards strolled playing through the crowd, picked out as much by a loftier air than any noble, as by the carved and gilded harps they carried. Yet Min's eyes flew as if pulled to the sure source of Rand's worry. 3 Aes Sedai talking together in shawls fringed green and brown and grey. Images and colours flashed around them, but not a thing she could make sense of. A swirl in the crowd revealed another, a comfortably round-faced woman. More images, more flaring colours, but all Min needed was the red-fringed shawl looped over her plump arms. Rand tucked her hand under his arm and patted it.
"Don't worry," he said softly. "Everything is going well."
She would have asked him what they were doing there, but she was afraid he would tell her. Darlin and Caroline had vanished into the crowd along with their followers, yet as a bowing serving man with stripes of red, green, and white on his dark cuffs offered a tray of silver goblets to Rand and Min, she reappeared, shaking off the importunings of a hatchet-faced fellow in one of those red coats. He glared at her back as she took a goblet of punch and waved the servant away, and Min's breath caught at the aura that suddenly flashed around him, bruised hues so dark they seemed nearly black. "Don't trust that man, Lady Caroline." She could not stop herself. "He will murder anyone he thinks is in his way. He'll kill for a whim, kill anybody." She clamped her teeth shut before saying more. Caroline glanced over her shoulder as the hatchet-faced man turned away abruptly. "I could believe it easily of David Hanlon," she said wryly. "His white lions fight for gold, not Kyrian, and loot worse than the Aiel. Andor became too hot for them, it seems." That with an arch glance at Rand. "Toram has promised them a great deal of gold, I think, and estates, I know." She tilted her eyes up to Min. "Do you know the man, Jaisi?" Min could only shake her head. How to explain what she did know about Hanlon now, that his hands would be red with more rapes and murders before he died? If she had known when or who, but all she knew was that he would. Anyway, telling about a viewing never changed it. What she saw happened, no matter who she warned. Sometimes, before she had learned better, it had happened because she warned.
"I've heard of the White Lions," Rand said coldly. "Look among them for dark friends and you won't be disappointed."
They had been some of Gabriel's soldiers. Min knew that much, and little more, except that Lord Gabriel had really been Ravine. It stood to reason that soldiers serving one of the Forsaken would include dark friends.
"What of him?"
Rand nodded toward a man across the tent whose long dark coat had as many stripes as Caroline's dress. Very tall for a Kyrianan, perhaps less than a full head shorter than Rand, he was slender except for broad shoulders, and strikingly good-looking, with a strong chin and just a touch of gray at his dark temples. For some reason, Min's eyes were drawn to his companion, a skinny little fellow with a large nose and wide ears, in a red silk coat that did not fit him very well. He kept fingering a curved dagger at his belt, a fancy piece with a golden sheath and a large red stone capping the hilt that seemed to catch the light darkly. She saw no auras around him. He seemed vaguely familiar. They were both looking at her and Rand.
"That," Caroline breathed in a tight voice, "is Lord Toram Riotan himself. And his constant companion these past days, Master Jerail Mordeth. Odious little man. His eyes make me want to take a bath. They both make me feel unclean."
She blinked, surprised at what she had said, but recovered quickly. Min had the feeling little put Caroline Domodred off her stride for long. In that she was very like Moiraine.
"I would be careful were I you, Cousin Tomas," she went on. "You may have wrought some miracle or Taviran work on me, and perhaps even on Darlin, though I cannot say what it might come to. I make no promises. But Toram hates you with a passion. It was not so bad before Mordeth joined him, yet since... Toram would have us attack the city immediately in the night. With you dead, he says, the Aiel would go, but I think it is you dead he seeks now, even more than he does the throne."
"Mordeth," Rand said.
His eyes were locked to Toram Riotan and the skinny fellow.
"His name is Padan Fain, and there are 100,000 golden crowns on his head."
Caroline nearly dropped her goblet. "Queens have been ransomed for less. What did he do?"
"He ravaged my home because it was my home."
Rand's face was frozen, his voice ice.
"He brought Trollocs to kill my friends because they were my friends. He is a dark friend and a dead man."
Those last words came through clenched teeth. Punch splashed the carpet as the silver goblet bent in his gloved fist. Min felt sick for him, for his pain. She had heard what Fain had done in the Two Rivers, but she put a hand on Rand's chest in near panic. If he gave way now, channeled with who knew how many Aes Sedai around... "For the light's sake, take hold of yourself," she began, and a woman's voice spoke pleasantly behind her. "Will you present me to your tall young friend, Caroline?" Min looked over her shoulder, right into an ageless face, cool-eyed beneath iron-gray hair pulled up into a bun, from which dangled small golden ornaments. Swallowing a squeak, Min coughed. She had thought Caroline had taken her in one glance, but these cool eyes seemed to know things about her she herself had forgotten. The Aes Sedai's smile as she adjusted her green-fringed shawl was not nearly so pleasant as her voice.
"Of course, Cadswain Sedai."
Caroline sounded shaken, but she smoothed her tone well before she finished introducing her visiting cousin and his wife.
"But I fear Cairhien is no place for them at present," she said, all self-possession once more, smiling regret that she could not keep Rand and Min longer. "They have agreed to take my advice and return to Andor."
"Have they?" Cadswain said dryly. Min's heart sank. Even if Rand had not spoken of her, it was clear from the way she looked at him that she knew him. Tiny golden birds and moons and stars swayed as she shook her head.
"Most boys learn not to stick their fingers into the pretty fire the first time they are burned, Tomas. Others need to be spanked to learn. Better a tender bottom than a seared hand."
"You know I'm no child," Rand told her sharply.
"Do I?"
She eyed him from head to toe and made it seem no very great distance.
"Well, it seems I shall soon see whether or not you need spanking."
Those cool eyes drifted to Min, to Caroline, and with a final hitch to her shawl, Cadswain herself drifted away into the crowd. Min swallowed the lump in her throat and was pleased to see Caroline do the same, self-possession or no. Rand, the blind fool, stared after the Aes Sedai as though intending to go after her. This time it was Caroline who laid a hand on Rand's chest.
"I take it you know Catswain," she said breathily. "Be careful of her. Even the other sisters stand in awe of her."
Her throaty tones took on a note of gravity.
"I have no idea what will come of today, but whatever it is, I think it is time you were gone, Cousin Tomas. Past time. I will have horses."
"This is your cousin, Caroline," said a deep, rich man's voice, and Min jumped in spite of herself.
Toram Riotan was even better looking close up than at a distance, with the sort of strong male beauty and air of worldly knowledge that would have attracted Min before she met Rand. While she still found them attractive, just not as much as she did Rand. His firm-lipped smile was quite appealing. Toram's gaze fell to Caroline's hand, still on Rand's chest.
"The Lady Caroline is to be my wife," he said lazily. "Did you know that?"
Caroline's cheeks reddened angrily.
"Do not say that, Toram. I have told you I will not, and I will not."
Toram smiled at Rand.
"I think women never know their minds until you show them. What do you think, Jirael?"
"Jirael?"
He looked around, scowling. Min stared at him in amazement. And he was so pretty, with just the right air of... She wished she could call up viewings at will. She very much wanted to know what the future held for this man.
"I saw your friend scurry off that way, Toram."
Mouth twisted with distaste, Caroline gave a vague wave of her hand.
"You will find him near the drink, I think, or else bothering the serving girls."
"Later, my precious."
He tried to touch her cheek and looked amused when she stepped back. Without a pause, he transferred his amusement to Rand, and the sword at his side.
"Would you care for a little sport, cousin? I call you that because we will be cousins once Caroline is my wife. With practice swords, of course."
"Certainly not," Caroline laughed. "He is a boy, Toram, and scarce knows one end of that thing from the other. His mother would never forgive me if I allowed..."
"Sport," Rand said abruptly. "I might as well see where this leads."
"I agree."